Depose from the faint. Do you think I'm hot? You're listening to WRCT Pittsburgh.
Welcome, everybody. Hope you had a good weekend. A lot of different things going on, and I want to jump right into it. You know, one of the things that was good last week that happened on the one-year anniversary of the January 6th Trump riots was that at least in some circles, there was a message which we heard multiple times, which is, okay, it's been a year, and a year ago, it didn't work. The insurrection failed. The attempt at a coup failed to actually keep the guy who didn't win in power. But instead of saying, great, it failed, we don't need to think about it anymore, many prominent voices have been saying the coup attempt continues. They're going to go crazy in 2024 trying to do it again. And they may even try it to some degree in 2022. And unless we're prepared, it has been made clear that were they slightly less incompetent, they might have pulled it off. Still unlikely they truly would have pulled it off. But the major and basic systems of democracy that we, in some sense, take for granted could have failed us. And there are a bunch of different pieces that I want to mention to you today that have been published, which I think are really, really good. And step back for a second and think about from how many different areas we are hearing this. Former military generals, former U.S. presidents, some of the most quoted thinkers of our time, like Noam Chomsky, and on and on and on. So let's just jump right in and take a look. Now, last week, we already looked at this first example. Retired general warns the U.S. military could back a coup after the 2024 election. I have an entire clip on this on the YouTube channel, so I won't redo it. But the gist of this was that actually three retired generals are warning that if in 2024 we saw another desire and another attempt for Republicans to take an election that they did not win, if they had the support of the upper echelon of the military, if the upper echelon of the military believed that the person that won didn't actually win and decided to help the insurrectionists, the outcome could be completely different. In other words, that the coup could succeed if the insurrectionists had the upper echelon of the military on their side. We talked about that last week. Also last week, we are starting to see concern in Canada, our friendly neighbors to the north, of if the U.S. is no longer democratic, what does that mean for us? How do we need to protect ourselves? And I told you about this report and article from the Canadian political science professor Thomas Homer Dixon, who is saying we in Canada, this is not even a warning to Americans. This is Thomas Homer Dixon warning his own country and saying we could have a right wing dictatorship in the United States by 2030, depending on what happens in 22 and in 24 and theoretically subsequently in 2028. With a continued erosion of a continued growth of this authoritarian right wing movement, bolstered to some degree, by the way, by some left wingers looking away and saying there's nothing to see here. That's also part of the problem, but mostly the people doing it are the problem. The U.S. could be a right wing dictatorship by 2030. But there are more concerns. And I think it's great that this is being published from different voices because it is so important to understand. Jimmy Carter wrote a really good piece last week on the eve of the January 6th Trump riot anniversary in the New York Times called I Fear for Our Democracy. And this is part of a number of essays that were published, and it's very, very much worth reading. But in it, Jimmy Carter says, 1 year on, promoters of the lie that the election was stolen have taken over one political party and stoked distrust in our electoral systems. These forces exert power and influence through relentless disinformation, which continues to turn Americans against Americans. According to the Survey Center on American Life, 36% of Americans agree that the traditional American way of life is disappearing so fast that we may have to use force to save it. The Washington Post recently reported roughly 40% of Republicans believe violent action against the government is sometimes justified. And in this, In this, Jimmy Carter says, they seek to win by any means. And many Americans are being persuaded to think and act likewise, threatening to collapse the foundations of our security and democracy with breathtaking speed. I now fear that what we have fought so hard to achieve globally, the right to free, fair elections unhindered by strongman politicians who seek nothing more than to grow their own power, has become dangerously fragile at home. Good for Jimmy Carter. Noam Chomsky. Noam Chomsky says the Republican soft coup is still underway 1 year after the Capitol assault. And this includes transcripts of an interview with Chomsky, where he says participants in the assault on the Capitol doubtless had varying perceptions and motives, but were united in the effort to overthrow an elected government. In short, an attempted coup by definition. It was furthermore an attempt that could have succeeded if a few prominent Republican figures had changed their stance and gone along with the coup attempt, and if the military command had made different decisions. Chomsky referencing what the retired generals say: if you get the military, the outcome can be different. Trump was making every effort to facilitate the coup, which would surely have been applauded by a large majority of Republican voters and by the Republican political leadership, with few exceptions, grovels at his feet in a shameful display of cowardice. Implications for the future are all too clear. The Republican organization is carefully laying the groundwork for success next time, whatever the electoral outcome might be. This is very, very serious. And lastly, Jim Chrysinger with a good piece, opinion, what authoritarianism would look like in America, where he writes, many Americans don't fear a potential slide into authoritarianism because they have no basis for doing so. Our oceans and hegemony have coddled us. We take democracy for granted, but democracy and the rule of law are not the normal state of governments, certainly not historically. Pointing out authoritarianism wouldn't happen overnight, but authoritarian regimes have shown us a roadmap. If Trump and his enablers get their way, how you experience your life would depend on whether you identified and were identified as a Trump Republican. Identified as a Trump Republican with your bumper sticker, you'd be more likely to get a warning instead of a speeding ticket. You'd gain the inside track for government jobs, grants and permits. Decisions about government benefits like unemployment and disability would be more likely to go your way. Your children would be more likely to win scholarships and admission to their chosen schools. You'd get more favorable loan and mortgage treatment, better access to scarce goods, the best tickets. Regulations would be interpreted in your favor or maybe just ignored. You could rely on the criminal justice and judicial systems to go easy on you, if not help you out. This is a very, very much worth reading article. And there are a lot of people already saying the 2024 election is going to be bonkers nuts. You are going to see them put up claims of fraud just like they did in 2020. But they may have secretaries of state, election administrators actually willing to do the flip. Remember, in Georgia, Brad Raffensperger said, we're not going to do that. We're not going to do that. They may actually lay the groundwork where they do have secretaries of state willing to play ball. And I don't think we're going to have to wait until 2024 to see it. I believe the midterms are going to show us where we are headed and how quickly. And so there's a lot of people in the right wing media who dismiss January 6th because it failed. And you would better believe that if they had succeeded and Trump was still president, some of those very people saying it wasn't really anything because it failed would be praising it as a victory for the real winner. So those people you can't listen to. They don't care about democracy. They're against it. If democracy leads to an outcome they don't want, it's not been a priority of the Republican Party for a really long time. And unfortunately, there is now a whole series of clones of Donald Trump that are out there in Congress and running for office in 2022 and no doubt in 2024. So good for all of these people continuing to point out this is not over. It's not. They tried it once and it failed. And now we move on. They're going to try it again. Now, I want to talk about something else that is very, very important, because in light of the concerns about future authoritarianism, saying, hey, you know what, in an authoritarian U.S., you would start to see, for example, the Trumpists will get lighter sentences or better treatment from the judicial system. This is already sort of happening, and I'm going to give you guys some very specific examples. There's this context we've seen about the Trump rioters, now more than 700 of them who have been charged, that they're being treated so unfairly, that they're being held in bad conditions in jail and prison, pretrial detention, all of these different things. And we actually now have an investigation as to the sentences for these individuals, and it turns out that 2/3 of the sentences for the Trump rioters are milder than what the prosecution has recommended. Judges are getting the recommendation and they're saying, I'm going to give them a lighter sentence in 2/3 of the times. Now, if you look at individual sentences, you'll see right wingers saying 4 years for this, 5 years for that. That's crazy. They're being treated poorly because they're Trumpists. But let's look at the actual data. Judges have declined U.S. proposed sentences in 2/3 of the January 6th cases so far. This is among those who have been sentenced. This is the Washington Post. When federal judges in Washington began hearing guilty pleas from some of the hundreds of riot participants from the riots, some were highly critical of prosecutors for pursuing only misdemeanor charges and not just seeking jail time for many defendants. Is it the government's view that the members of the mob that engaged in the Capitol attack were simply trespassers? Asked District Judge Beryl Howell incredulously in October. Is general deterrence going to be served by letting rioters who broke into the Capitol, overran police, resolve liability through petty offense pleas? But for all four defendants Howell sentenced, she has imposed less jail time than prosecutors sought, saying that government plea deals in most misdemeanor cases are forcing judges to choose whether short jail terms or years of probation pose a stronger deterrent. Her decisions are not unusual. The article goes on to say federal judges in D.C. have gone below the government recommendation in 49 of 74 sentencings held for the rioters in the year since the attack. That's about 2/3 of the cases. Most have not yet been sentenced. So we're looking at the ones that have. In 8 cases where prosecutors asked for jail time, the judges opted for probation. Of the 74 people sentenced so far, 35 have been given jail or prison time, 14 home detention, and 25 probation alone. There is a sort of infographic here that you can look at, and we'll link to this, which shows in pink those who got lighter sentences than the recommended. In yellow, those who got harsher, and that applies to looks like a couple, and those who got exactly what was recommended. It is untrue that the Trump rioters are being treated unfairly harshly. Now, we're going to get to some of these other aspects later, which include, you know, Republicans saying, well, it's just terrible how they're being held in pretrial detention. They can't build a good defense if that's what you do. Yes, people like me have been saying for decades, pretrial detention, which is disproportionately something for people that can't afford bail in some case. Sometimes it's because you can't afford bail. Sometimes it's not granted, different situations. We've been saying that needs to be reformed for a really, really long time. The right never cared. Now they care because it's Trumpists. Those same right wingers saying these people are being treated like terrorists. Now, some say they are terrorists, but the conditions in these jails are terrible. One guy didn't even get the vegan food that he asked for. We've been talking about jail and prison conditions in the United States for decades. They didn't care. They used to say, well, if you're there, you're there for a reason and you don't deserve to be in a Norwegian hotel or what, you know, the whatever analogy they like to make. Now they care because it's, quote, their people. So let's look at the facts. 2/3 getting lighter sentences than what was recommended. Make sure you're following me on Twitter at @dpacman. Remember that tomorrow, Tuesday, January 11th, 6 p.m. Eastern, we will be doing the first David Pakman Show chess tournament of the year. Make sure you join our chess club. It's free. This is totally free. DavidPakman.com/chess. And then you can play in the tournament tomorrow. I hope to see you then. Welcome back, everybody. Remember that the David Pakman Show is primarily funded by viewers and listeners through the membership program. That's particularly true for the next 90 days, as we have been banned from all monetization on Facebook. Why? Because an algorithm misinterpreted a pro-vaccine video that we posted as anti-vaccine. I'll have more information about that tomorrow. But needless to say, we could really use your support at joinpacman.com. You'll get access to the daily bonus show. It's an extra show every day for our members when you sign up at joinpacman.com. All right. Well, Congresswoman Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez has COVID, and just days after her Florida trip, during which Republicans complained about her not wearing a mask outdoors and about her partner's feet being exposed in flip-flops and about her supposedly fleeing liberal New York to conservative paradise Florida. So there's a bunch of different stories here that I want to talk about, and mostly it's about the reaction from these people. So Axios report, AOC tests positive for COVID. Congresswoman Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez has tested positive, her office confirmed Sunday evening. They're saying she's experiencing symptoms and recovering at home. The congresswoman received her booster shot this fall, encourages everyone to get their booster and follow all CDC guidelines. Also a report from PIX 11 in New York, AOC positive for COVID. It wasn't immediately clear what her symptoms were or how severe. And that's really the only additional information we have. Now, Marjorie Taylor Greene very quickly took to Twitter. Oh, no, not Twitter. Where was this? This must have been on this must be on some right wing thing. Maybe this is Parler. I don't know where she said, because so, Marjorie Taylor Greene's banned from Twitter. Marjorie says super jabbed and vaxxed AOC has COVID. What was that from all the unvaccinated Republican men she said wanted to date her? Really, it's because COVID vaccines don't actually stop anyone from getting sick with COVID. Now, that's untrue. As many of you know, three doses is 75% effective at preventing symptomatic infection with Omicron. And the overwhelming decrease in hospitalization and death from the vaccine continues to be obvious if you look at the numbers. Marjorie Taylor Greene, whoop, also saying AOC caught the pandemic of the unvaccinated, even though she is totally triple vaxxed. She shouldn't take that horse medicine ivermectin. And monoclonal antibodies are for people who meet certain criteria like obesity and over 55. And that's not her. So a lot of very strange gloating from Marjorie Taylor Greene. But there's a couple of different things here to talk about. Here's a clip from this morning on CNBC of Andrew Ross Sorkin and Becky Quick talking about it.
In the meantime, New York Representative Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez has tested positive for COVID-19. Her office released a statement yesterday saying that she is experiencing symptoms and recovering at home. The statement also said that the congresswoman received a booster shot last fall. But, Andrew, over the holidays, there were lots of pictures of her unmasked out and about in Florida. And she was already picking up heat for the fact that it was kind of, she was saying people shouldn't be doing these things, but she was pictured doing a lot of these things in Florida. So I think this will be additional fodder for anybody who's looking to take shots at her.
You know, it's funny. It's funny whether getting COVID now, and I wonder whether it's changed, whether getting COVID is a scarlet letter. I would think not. I would think there was
think
a
so.
Point early
and
on in this pandemic where people thought.
Okay, so there's a bunch of different things here. First of all, these people now gloating are the ones who haven't been following the guidelines all along, whose rates of COVID are far higher in red states than blue states, in Trump counties versus Biden counties, whose death rates are higher, whose hospitalization rates are higher. So why would they be mad at AOC now? Well, because of hypocrisy. That would be the explanation. Hypocrisy. Okay. Did AOC violate any rules? And the answer is, as far as I know, she didn't. She wore a mask when traveling down to Florida, and she was outdoors and not wearing a mask. And OK, so you could say, well, but she's advocating for things to be rules, which then she ignores. No, she didn't ignore any rules. She wore the mask on the plane. OK, whatever. So what's the lesson here? The lesson is this is so insanely contagious. And these right wingers have continued to say all of this stuff is BS. Leave liberal New York and come to safe Florida, where DeSantis is doing everything great and it's so safe and we're doing great on COVID. Well, hospitalizations in Florida are up 200%+ since the start of this Omicron wave. But AOC went to Florida and she got COVID. So clearly it must not be that safe. Now, we're assuming that the COVID is a result of her having been in Florida. If you think about the timing. She was in Florida over the new year into the new year. And then she came back, and most people have 2 to 3 days asymptomatic. Then symptoms start. Sometimes it takes another day, 2 or 3 before you even show up as positive. And then, you know, we got to Sunday night, which was the 9th. We're presuming that this was the result of being in Florida. It may not even be. We really don't know, but it doesn't matter. The idea here is all of these right wing. It's likely that it happened as a result of that trip. And all of these right wingers who say you got to come down to Florida, it's actually safer here. It doesn't actually appear to be. Also, remember that we know she has COVID because she got tested. And recently, the Florida Surgeon General has been saying we got to do away with this testing culture, you know, testing all the time. She could have followed that and never gotten a positive test and just lived her life and exposed more people and on and on and on. But she's not doing that. She's actually going to quarantine. So without a doubt, what AOC did is risky right now. Like, this is so contagious. You know, when I flew back a few weeks ago, the entire airport was just filled with coughing people. I don't know how I didn't get it. But the people calling her out are doing the exact same stuff. So the moral of the story, it really is that contagious. And I'm going to be doing very little for a couple of weeks, and I want the peak to be over, and hopefully we'll have far better looking numbers in a few weeks. The other thing just to consider is it could have been going to Florida when she's in the Bronx or wherever. You know, New York City has an insanely high positivity rate right now. She's meeting constituents. She's going to ribbon cutting. She's doing all that stuff. She's in harm's way because of her job, without question. And ultimately, I don't know that it even really matters where she got it. But that's the latest. Republicans gloating about AOC catching COVID. I told you last week that after Joe Biden's absolutely brutal speech about the January 6th riots on the 1 year anniversary, going right after Donald Trump for his role in inciting those riots, Trump was so triggered. Trump put out 4 consecutive statements, bizarre grammar, random capitalization, each statement basically just a repetition of the previous. Really, really strange stuff. Well, after that, Donald Trump was interviewed by OAN. OAN is the even more radical right wing network to Newsmax, which is already a more radical right wing version of Fox News, which is crazy. So imagine where Newsmax is. Newsmax went down to Florida. It's relevant that this took place in Florida, and you'll see why in a moment. And Donald Trump just can't even string together a single coherent argument. I mean, this is arguably the easiest interview in history. The interviewer was getting autographs from Trump either before or after the interview. She was pictured. This is like a fan of Trump's just letting him do whatever he wants. And it's still humiliating. And Trump is still saying any second now, states are going to be turned over to him. He's talking about the 2020 election. I know you're saying it's David, sir, it's 2022. Trump is talking about flipping states in the 2020 election.
We ran a third world election. Yeah. And things are coming out over the next couple of days, maybe even today.
We're always days away from the blockbuster.
One case, I hear a very big story is coming out today.
Oh, yeah.
On the cheating, and numerous states are going to be turned. I don't know what they're going to do, but it's going to show that they were won by me. It's already shown.
Right.
If you look at Arizona, if you look at the findings in Arizona.
Is it sad at this point, guys, that it's still the same talking points?
That's over.
Right.
We won it. And I'm going to go out there next week. We're making a speech. But if you look at those findings, we won the state.
So Trump did not win Arizona. Now, then Trump goes back to talking about the size of his pathetic crowd. He again is talking about crowd size. I know it's 2022.
Everything was going beautifully. And then the election got rigged and stolen from the American people. And by the way, that's the reason they went in massive numbers. They don't cover the numbers of people. They always show the Capitol with a very small, just a tiny percentage of the people that were there.
Right.
They never show helicopter pictures of that incredible crowd because it was the largest crowd I've ever spoken before.
I believe he's talking about the January 6th crowd.
Never had a crowd. I've never seen a crowd that big.
He's never even read. Oh, right. He doesn't read. So, okay.
It was massive.
It was the real number. I won't say.
Imagine the interview. It was massive.
Because it'll be a headline. Oh, he exaggerated the number. The real number was over that sacred number. Okay,
yeah.
You know what that number was, right?
I do.
And
sacred.
I don't even talk about that.
He's kind of talking about it right now. Then Trump very strangely started saying the media is censoring pictures of how big the crowd was. I mean, this is a very sick individual.
But why do we have such a dishonest press? That's the question. And why don't they show the real crowd?
Right.
That was there on January 6th, the crowd of people that was the biggest I've ever seen.
Right.
I haven't seen any picture. You can hardly get a picture. We're trying to find pictures. They have censored the pictures.
Right.
They don't want to show that crowd.
It's all been completely, it's you can't go to Google Images and type in Trump January 6th. Oh, you can. Oh, you get thousands of results. Oh, sorry. The pictures are censored. Now, one nice moment. Nice is when Trump continues to go after Mitch McConnell and Mike Pence for the election loss. This is really great news because it shows us the continued divide within the party, which is what the left has. The left is doing so poorly at putting together a good strategy for 22. We have to hope that their own division will hurt them. Trump going right after McConnell and Pence here. Take a look.
What do you think? What does the American public need to do in order to not just feel secure, but actually secure our elections?
Well, we have to get better people than Mitch McConnell, who immediately gave up. And, you know, Mike Pence was, it was sad because when you have more votes than you have voters, you could send that back to the legislatures, right?
Right.
Send it back. Hey, excuse me, we have more votes than voters. Would you check it out? And by that time, they would have done something because, as you know, they were starting to get angry around that time. They said, yep. Wait a minute, we've been scammed.
There were protesters.
So that was disappointing with Mike, and Mitch McConnell shouldn't have accepted it.
Isn't that the best? How it is not common that a president so consistently criticizes his own vice president and said, Mike failed us. It was really disappointing. Mike Pence couldn't have done anything, and Mike Pence was right. He knew it. Then the topic came up of what actually happened on January 6th, and Trump talked about all of the love that day. Take a look at this. This is wild.
And it was cold that day. People were very cold and weren't trying to.
It was love that day. There was so much love out there during the speech, but a tiny percentage. And they started walking to the Capitol in many cases before I even spoke.
Right. It was their idea. It wasn't even anything Trump did.
You know, that was well known.
Yeah.
But they should show helicopter shots of the crowd, not taken 6 hours before, like they did with my inauguration. You know, when
they're still talking about the crowd size in 2017, guys.
So the inauguration hours before,
right?
And they talk about, oh, not that many people, because I tell you what, it went down to the Washington Monument, and they know it, just like they showed the empty basketball arena. And they
basketball. The guy is still talking about the crowd size. Now, the interview is completely unhinged. What we're expecting at the rally in Arizona on Saturday is probably more of this. This is a very, very sick man. But one of the really funny things is when Trump was president, the FAA wouldn't allow planes to fly over Mar-a-Lago. You know, Mar-a-Lago down in Florida there, it's near so many different airports and the flight paths. That's not happening anymore. And multiple times, I just love this. Multiple times during the interview, you hear planes right overhead, and you can see and hear in Trump's voice that he gets annoyed by it. It is constant now. Check this out.
But people respected us, and they weren't going to mess around. You know, when you're weak, you end up in wars. And we were respected. So 1 year ago, we were respected like probably never before.
1 year ago, we were respected. Now he can't even get the planes to stop flying over Mar-a-Lago. It happens again later in the interview. And again, it just sort of seems to slightly distract Trump. You know, his ego is very bruised that now planes are making noise over his house all day.
You do. And what OAN does is so important. And you have a much bigger audience than people understand.
Thank you.
But you cover it better than anybody. And we're talking about elections that are broken, rigged.
And you've been saying this. You were saying this.
All right, so you guys get it. Just another one of these insane interviews. And do not be confused. This will continue. Trump will continue meddling in, or, you know, depending on your perspective, meddling or being involved in Republican politics until the Republican Party doesn't allow him anymore. Or until his health goes bad and he's not able to anymore. But he seems as determined as ever to be involved. So a humiliating OAN interview. There's going to be more of this coming. Make sure you're following us on Instagram at David Pakman Show. All right, this you really have to see to believe. I'm going to play video for you today of really a servant serving his master. That's really what this is. And the servant is a sitting U.S. senator, and the master is a Fox News propagandist. I'm talking about Ted Cruz and Tucker Carlson. If you haven't been following the story, it is really incredible what this says about the current state of political affairs, the current state of society and the Republican Party. Last Wednesday, it was the eve of the anniversary of January 6th. And in a Senate hearing, Ted Cruz said, "We were approaching the anniversary of a violent terrorist attack on the Capitol." And a lot of people on the right didn't like Ted Cruz calling what happened on January 6, 2021, a terrorist attack. And Tucker Carlson didn't like it. And apparently, Tucker Carlson and Ted Cruz started texting about it. And Ted Cruz ended up appearing on the Tucker Carlson program to apologize. I am going to play for you a sitting U.S. senator having to go on and do a mea culpa to the person who is really in charge, apparently, Tucker Carlson. And this shouldn't surprise us. Hannity was giving Trump advice and in contact with Trump, telling him what to do. What does it say? What does it say when a Republican senator answers to a right-wing media propagandist? Let's take a look at this.
So we played this tape for you last night. We were surprised by it. We prefaced it by saying every conservative appreciates Ted Cruz because he's one of the smartest and most articulate people in the Congress, and he's conservative. But he referred publicly to what happened on January 6th as, quote, a violent terror attack. Here it is.
We are approaching a solemn anniversary this week, and it is an anniversary of a violent terrorist attack on the Capitol, where we saw the men and women of law enforcement demonstrate incredible courage, incredible bravery, risk their lives to defend the men and women who serve in this Capitol.
Really not controversial. Now, many will focus on none of them were charged with terrorism. It's very common that people aren't charged with literally the thing that we colloquially say they did. There's still a debate, is it or isn't it terrorism? But this, it's really not a big deal, what he said. And look at Tucker's concerned face. And Ted Cruz has been a bad boy, and he's going to have to apologize.
Senator Cruz was game enough to come on tonight. We appreciate that. He joins us now. Senator, thanks so much for coming on. So I guess what I mean, there are a lot of dumb people in the Congress. You're not one of them. I think you're smarter than I am. And you never use words carelessly. And yet you called this a terror attack when by no definition was it a terror attack. That's a lie. You told that lie on purpose. And I'm wondering why you did.
Well, Tucker, thank you for having me on. When you aired your episode last night, I sent you a text shortly thereafter and said, listen, I'd like to go on because...
Sir, I'd like to apologize, pretty please.
The way I phrased things yesterday, it was sloppy and it was frankly dumb.
I don't buy that. Whoa. I don't buy that.
The teacher, that's not a good enough apology, little Ted. The teacher's going to demand a better apology.
I've known you a long time since before you went to the Senate. You were a Supreme Court contender. You take words as seriously as any man who's ever served in the Senate. And every word you repeated that phrase.
By the way, imagine Ted Cruz on the Supreme Court. That's a horror movie.
Do not believe that you used that accidentally. I just don't.
Tucker, as a result of my sloppy phrasing, it's caused a lot of people to misunderstand what I meant. Let me tell you what I meant to say. What I was referring to are the limited number of people who engaged in violent attacks against police officers. Now, I think you and I both agree that if you assault a police officer, you should go to jail. That's who I was talking about. And the reason the phrasing was sloppy is I have talked dozens, if not hundreds of times. I've drawn a distinction. I wasn't saying that the thousands.
This is so pathetic. If you watch this and you go, who has the power here? Is it the U.S. senator or is it the Fox propagandist? It's obviously the Fox propagandist.
Of peaceful protesters supporting Donald Trump are somehow terrorists. I wasn't saying the millions of patriots across the country supporting President Trump are terrorists, and that's what a lot of people have misunderstood that comment.
Wait a second, hold on. What you just said doesn't make sense. So if somebody assaults a cop, he should be charged and go to jail. I couldn't agree more. We have said that for years. But that person's still not a terrorist. How many people have been charged with terrorism on January 6th? Like, why'd you use that word? You're playing into the other side's characterization that is Joe Kent.
Ted Cruz has been a bad, bad boy.
Just explained, allows them to define an entire population as foreign combatants. And you know that. So why'd you do it?
So Tucker, let me answer you directly. The reason I use that word, for a decade, I have referred to people who violently assault police officers as terrorists. I've done so over and over and over again. If you look at all the assaults we've seen across the country, I've called that terrorism over and over again. That being said, Tucker, I agree with you. It was a mistake to say that yesterday. And the reason is what you just said.
I've been bad. I've apologized three times already. Please.
We've now had a year of Democrats in the media twisting words and trying to say that all of us are terrorists, trying to say you're a terrorist, I'm a terrorist. And so, look, man.
Talk about a red herring, huh?
Like people who assault cops. And I stand up and defend cops. And the reason I use that word is that's the word I've always used for people that violently attack cops. But in this context, I get why people were angry, because we've had a year of the corrupt corporate media and Democrats claiming anyone who objected to the election fraud. And by the way, remember what was happening during those protests?
Can I just ask, hold on, you work in the, I guess I just don't believe you. And I mean that with respect, because I have such respect for your...
You're so great that this is too stupid for me to accept.
Acuity and your precision, and I've seen it on display. I've covered you as a reporter. I know how you speak. And you have sat there for a year and watched people use language to distort the event.
Anyway, it goes on from here. You can find the entire thing online. What does it say about society that Ted Cruz answers to the right-wing media propagandist of the day? Obviously, our elected officials should answer to us, the people. We're the ones who elect them. That's not what's going on here. Ted Cruz is not, Tucker Carlson is not a constituent of Ted Cruz. This is really an indication of the power dynamics. And Ted Cruz sort of gets, to use the term colloquially, Ted Cruz gets cucked by everybody. Because remember, Trump called Ted Cruz's wife ugly. And then Ted Cruz came out and said, Trump's great. I support Trump. I love Trump. Trump, Trump, Trump. And then now here he is doing his could I have some more porridge, please? Totally subservient to Tucker Carlson. Really interesting, instructive example of who is actually holding the power in these dynamics right now. Hey, I want to briefly tell you about the fact that one of the accused Trump rioters was out on bail and killed a young mother in a drunk driving crash. Now, why is this story of particular importance? Why would I highlight this story? For 6 years, Trumpists have been talking about undocumented immigrants out on bail in the country are committing this crime and that crime. And these are just terrible, terrible people. Imagine if the situation here was reversed and some left-wing BLM protester out on bail killed someone in a drunk driving accident, what would be happening on Fox News right now? But a version of that is what happened here. Emily Hernandez infamously appeared in photos carrying a broken sign from the House Speaker Nancy Pelosi's office. This was a Trump rioter. It's beyond question. 22-year-old woman. All of a sudden, I'm having a problem reading this article. I guess I need a Daily Beast subscription, which I don't have. Okay. 22-year-old woman, Trump rioter, out on bail, drunk driving, kills a young mother. And I want to go through the numerous hypocrisies here. For decades, the right hasn't cared about conditions in jails or prisons. If you're there, you must have done something wrong. You deserve it. We don't coddle people. We aren't Norway with nice jails. Now it's Trumpists, because some of them, because of their role in the January 6th riots. And they are saying they're being treated terribly. The prison and jail conditions are terrible. The vegan guy's not getting his vegan food. Since when do you care about conditions in prisons and jails? These Trumpists, they can't mount good defenses if they are stuck in pretrial detention all the way up until their trial. Right. We've been saying that about all sorts of offenders, including relatively low-level drug offenders held without bail, unable to mount a proper defense. And you didn't care. Now you care because it's Trumpists. And then it's, we can't let illegals out on bail. Then they go and commit crimes, even though we know undocumented immigrants commit crime at a lower rate than natural-born American citizens. And then here we go. Here's a Trump rioter out on bail, gets drunk, and kills someone driving around in a car. The reality is, either you're a danger and you need to be in custody, or you're not and you should be out until you appear in court or have to report to prison or whatever the case may be. This doesn't have to take on the political nature. The reason we are pointing out the political nature is, number one, because these are issues that the right has first ignored and now all of a sudden they care about, whereas we on the left have cared about these important issues for a really long time: pretrial detention, bail, etc. And number two, because they only are paying attention when it affects one side. These people truly are pathetic, and they're silent on this particular issue. Just imagine if this was a BLM protester or someone from Antifa, what you would be seeing on right-wing media right now. Let's take a quick break. We'll be back right after this. Much more to cover today. So after covering a couple of notable anti-vaccine COVID deaths last week, many of you over the weekend sent me all sorts of other examples of this. And there's a couple I want to highlight, and I highlight these not to point the finger and laugh at people. I don't find that there's anything to laugh at, but to show all of the different ways in which this toxic delusional thinking infects people, and then they end up in horrible situations. Their families end up in horrible situations, and it's absolutely horrifying. An anti-vaccine podcaster who got COVID at a conspiracy conference during which COVID conspiracies were spread has now died of COVID. I'm talking about 61-year-old Doug Kuzma. A QAnon and anti-vax podcaster has died from complications due to COVID after getting the virus at a conspiracy theory conference, which became a super spreader event where attendees blamed their illness on an anthrax attack. I don't know if you remember that. Last week, or maybe it was the week before, I told you about this conspiracy conference where tons of people got COVID and they said, we believe we were targeted with anthrax. And of course, you apply a simple kind of colloquial Occam's razor. What's more likely, that anthrax, which is difficult to get in the U.S., really more prevalent in other parts of the world, and it is what's responsible as a targeted attack against us when the symptoms are the one of the virus that's rapidly spreading everywhere? Why would we choose the anthrax over the COVID? Well, didn't make any sense. This guy has now died not from anthrax, but from COVID. Doug Kuzma, 61-year-old from Newport News, Virginia, died after being hospitalized 10 days earlier. Kuzma broadcasted on the Frog News Podcasting Network, which stands for Fully Rely on God. Kuzma and his fellow hosts pushed an array of conspiracy theories, ranging from QAnon to COVID denial and election fraud lies. Kuzma attended the Reawaken America conference in Dallas on the weekend of December 11th, posting a picture of his media pass. Other images posted show large crowds in confined spaces with no social distancing or masks. I literally told you guys when we would look at clips from Reawaken America, these are COVID hellscapes. And now he has died. The conspiracy-laden event organized by Tulsa businessman Clay Clark was headlined by people like the disgraced former National Security Advisor Michael Flynn, conspiracy theorist Alex Jones, and Eric Trump. Several unvaccinated conspiracy theorists and fraud promoters basically claimed they were targeted with anthrax. Kuzma reported he was feeling ill, claimed it was chronic bronchitis flaring up again. From the picture, he looks obese and chronic bronchitis, and you don't get a vaccine. And when COVID is rampantly spreading, you go to a conference with tons of other unvaccinated and unmasked people. It's really unbelievable. On December 15th, he posted that he had a fever. Someone commented he should get a COVID test, and he said, no way. He was told better safe than sorry, and he lashed out, saying, "You must have lost your mind so they can kill me and try to give me the jab. I'll die at the house before I go to the hospital." Well, after suffering for fever for 5 days, he was forced to admit he probably had COVID. He was found unconscious at his house on Christmas Eve and rushed to the hospital. He was not responding to treatment. He was sedated and placed on a ventilator. According to a fellow member, the final message Kuzma sent was a photo of himself with a refill of ivermectin. Oh, my God. His daughter stopped sharing posts about his condition because she was against his truther movement. He pushed anti-vax conspiracies. They also promote multi-level marketing company LifeWave on the Frog Network, which sells wearable patches that promise to activate your stem cells and reset them to a younger, healthier state. Man, you know, this is instructive in so many ways. The MLM stuff he was pushing, it didn't help him survive. The ivermectin didn't help him. He didn't get the vaccine. And, you know, Candace Owens recently said she'll die before getting the vaccine. That is clearly that there are people choosing that. There are people choosing that. And this is sad. This is not something I look at and I laugh at. And we have another example to look at. Next example, the QAnon star Kirsten Weldon, who said only idiots get vaccinated, is dead of COVID. We're now getting multiple ones a day. Kirsten Weldon told her fans not to get vaccinated, wanted Dr. Fauci killed. She believed he should be executed. She is dead of COVID. A leading QAnon promoter who urged both her followers and strangers she passed on the street not to get vaccinated died Thursday of the virus. She amassed tens of thousands of followers on right-wing media by promoting the pro-Trump QAnon conspiracy under the name Kirsten W. Weldon focused on attacking vaccines and other efforts to fight COVID, saying in one video that Dr. Anthony Fauci needs to be hung from a rope. She claimed the vaccine killed people and even recorded herself yelling at people standing in line to get vaccinated. The vaccines kill. Don't get it. This is how gullible these idiots are. They're all getting the vaccine. In December, Weldon started showing symptoms of the virus. On December 28th, Weldon struggled through remarks about the coming overthrow of the government, coughing and saying she was exhausted. 3 days later, she found herself in a hospital, posted a picture wearing an oxygen mask claiming she had bacterial pneumonia. She wrote she refused to take coronavirus treatment remdesivir, calling it Dr. Fauci's resmedervir, misspelling it. This is the latest instance of a far-right personality who opposed vaccination killed by the virus. I just told you about Doug Kuzma, who also died in the same way. We've previously talked about Robert David Steele. We talked about Veronica Walski, a QAnon follower who was hospitalized with the virus. People started calling in saying, give her ivermectin. She died later that month. What is there to say at this point? I mean, do we have sympathy? My audience is mixed on this. Whenever I do a story like this, some of you write to me and you say, I have no sympathy. They didn't get vaccinated, etc. They are perpetrators. They are also victims. I mean, if you fall for this stuff, in some way, you are a victim of disinformation. It's an empirical reality. You've fallen for misinformation. You didn't create it. You've fallen for it. And at the same time, you are a perpetrator because you encourage others to do the same. And who knows how many people got sick as a result of either of these individuals. So I know my audience is mixed on this. But at this point in time, given the level of contagion of Omicron and how easily it spreads, the vaccine is increasingly to protect yourself. Would these individuals have survived if they had had three doses? Statistically, it's likely. You know, you can't draw a conclusion about an individual. Doug Kuzma, with his bronchial condition and the weight, he might have died either way. We don't know. Statistically, he would have had a dramatically reduced shot at dying if he had had three doses. Of course, same with Kirsten Weldon here as well. So I continue to welcome your thoughts about what should be our view about things like this. But get yourselves vaccinated. My family lost an additional person over the weekend. My dad's cousin in Argentina, vaccinated. Initially down there, they had the Russian and Chinese vaccines. I don't know exactly which one he had, but vaccinated to some degree, had pre-existing conditions, came down with the virus, unclear where he got it, ended up being sedated on a ventilator for 3 weeks, developed infections, developed kidney issues. Horrible, 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 devastating to the family. And he died over the weekend. If you have an opportunity to get vaccinated, take it, because that's the fate afflicting disproportionately unvaccinated people. My dad's cousin had pre-existing conditions. There's no doubt about it. But he was not particularly old, and it got him. Why not wear the suit of armor if you're walking through the forest of arrows? Why not wear the seatbelt if you're driving? You might never need it, but you might. And I am convinced we are going to see more and more stories like this continue to come in. We have a voicemail number. That number is 2192-DAVID-P. We were talking about racism at the workplace last week, and the Eggman called in. I guess the Eggman mostly works with racist people. And here are his observations, which I find pretty interesting.
Hi, Dave. I was really interested in you discussing how very racist people handle their jobs at work. Mm. I just want to say that I work in a company that has mostly racist people.
Okay.
And I will give you my deduction on that, okay?
Please.
The more racist they are, the nicer they are to the black people and minorities inside the shop. Behind the back, N-word, N-word, all day long. But when the black African-American people or Puerto Rican Hispanics show up, they are the friendliest to them. My wife thinks it's because they're scared of them, okay? Mm. I'm not extra friendly to black people. I'm not extra mean to black people. I'm just normal to everybody. But racist people in public, in jobs, they hide it very well because in their minds they're afraid of other racists, so they act extra sweet. It really irritates me to see them being nice to these black people and minorities that I work with, and I know they just use the word with me before, and now they act all buddy-buddy. I think it's totally disgusting. Shalom, brother. Oh, also, in the printing industry, most people are racist, and it has nothing to do with their job because they do a great job, and they're thinking the N-word all day long.
Wow, I didn't realize the printing industry was so plagued with racism. That's very interesting. You know, I did, growing up, late teens, early 20s, I had someone in my circles who was quite racist privately, and they were insanely polite whenever there were black or what I would call notably Hispanic people around. As many of you know, I'm Hispanic by most definitions, but when I'm saying brown people, when there were black and brown people around, this racist person in my circle, who is not part of it anymore, was not my friend. They were notably polite to minorities. And the Eggman's theory or hypothesis is it's because they're scared. They don't want to get hurt by the minority. So they become extra polite. Interesting insights from the Eggman. We have a really great bonus show for you today. We are going to talk about the sad news of comedian and Full House star and all around good guy, from what I know, Bob Saget, dead at 65, found dead in a hotel room. You won't be shocked that it is leading to COVID conspiracies, COVID vaccine conspiracies, but we'll talk about what is actually known about it. The James Webb Space Telescope is fully deployed. Great, so it's all set, right? No, now it's 5 months of configuration and adjustments and calibration, but we'll tell you what's going on. It's super interesting. And this is just insane. New York Mayor Eric Adams has been in the job for a few days. He has appointed his brother to a $240,000 job that, from what I've looked at, his brother is not qualified for. We'll dig into that in more detail, but that's my early assessment, not qualified for the job. How do you get access to the bonus show? Very easy. Sign up on my website, joinpacman.com. We have a membership program. We are fully demonetized on Facebook for the next 90 days. So we really need your help. Please sign up at joinpacman.com and we will see you.
CT Pittsburgh, meaty and full of flavor since 1949.
Hey there, folks. Glad you could join me for all the best, the smoothest of the smooth, the cool and gentle sounds of what we call jazz. Tired of the fluffy stuff? At WRCT Pittsburgh, jazz is a wholesome word.
DJ Heim from Forest, and you're listening to 88.3 WRCT.
Depose from the faint. Do you think I'm hot? You're listening to WRCT Pittsburgh.
WRCT Pittsburgh. Meaty and full of flavor since 1940.
Nuclear Holocaust. It's a very serious problem, and one that faces all of us. Fortunately, here at WRCT Pittsburgh, we broadcast from a steel-reinforced concrete basement. So we'll be playing music long after your sorry corpse has evaporated in a blinding flash of light and heat. I hope this thought comforts you. WRCT Pittsburgh, 88.3 FM. Now and forever.
My fellow Americans, I would just like to say now, as an expert on the subject, that WRCT Pittsburgh does not blow. Thank you.
Yo, what's up? How y'all doing out there in Techno Land? RCT Techno DJs in the house. Oh yeah, bringing you the only fat beats in Pittsburgh. Right here on WRCT Pittsburgh, 88.3 FM. Word to your mother.
For those of you concerned with your health and the new USDA organic product standards, WRCT Pittsburgh would like to inform you that all our DJs are genetically modified to bring you best music.
DJ Heim from Forest, and you're listening to 88.3 WRCT.
WRCT in sound. From way out.
Would you like to take the sounds of your favorite radio station to places you never thought possible? Well, now you can, because WRCT is live on the internet. Just point your browser to www.wrct.org and click on our live MP3 broadcast. Now you can go out of town without any feelings of loss or regret for leaving us behind, because we're just a mouse click away. WRCT, live on the internet. Because why should Pittsburgh have all the fun?
Hey there, folks. Glad you could join me for all the best, the smoothest of the smooth, the cool and gentle sound of what we call jazz.
Tired of the fluffy stuff? At WRCT Pittsburgh, jazz is a wholesome word.
Hello, my fellow Americans. I would just like to say now, as an expert on the subject, that WRCT Pittsburgh does not blow. Thank you.
Would you like to take the sounds of your favorite radio station to places you never thought possible? Well, now you can, because WRCT is live on the internet. Just point your browser to www.wrct.org.
From New York, this is Democracy Now!
Guantanamo should be closed, and no such place should be created again, or no one should be, stripped of his freedom of rights based on suspicion or based in his background, or, you know, indefinitely detained and abused. And as you see, Guantanamo is still, until that day, one of the biggest human rights violations in the 21st century.
20 years ago today, the U.S. military began imprisoning Muslim men at Guantanamo Bay in Cuba. Over the past two decades, the U.S. has held nearly 800 men at the secretive prison. Most were never charged with a crime. Many were tortured, held in isolation, shackled, hooded, kicked, threatened with dogs. Today, 39 prisoners remain. The U.S. now spends more than $13 million a year for each prisoner at Guantanamo. We'll spend the hour with three men who spent time at Guantanamo, two who were held without charge as prisoners, and one served as a Muslim army chaplain, then jailed himself after being falsely accused of espionage.
So on this January 11th, 2022, let's all agree that it's time to shut this place down once and for all.
All that and more coming up. Welcome to Democracy Now!, democracynow.org, the War and Peace Report. I'm Amy Goodman. The number of people hospitalized with COVID-19 in the United States has soared to its highest level of the pandemic, with over 142,000 patients surpassing even last winter's peak. The grim milestone came as the U.S. reported over 1.4 million new infections Monday, the highest daily case count of any nation so far. Nearly 1,700 U.S. deaths were reported Monday. The crisis has pushed states to mobilize National Guard teams as hospitals delay or cancel elective surgeries, and in some cases impose crisis standards of care. This is New York City emergency room physician Dr. Rahul Sharma.
The majority of patients who are getting admitted are high-risk patients who are unvaccinated or who are elderly, who have comorbidities like cancer, liver, heart failure, underlying respiratory issues, or diabetes. Now, while the disease is milder, it's also much more transmissible.
On Monday, the Biden administration said U.S. insurers must reimburse the cost of up to 8 at-home coronavirus test kits per family member per month beginning on Saturday. In Chicago, schools are back in session today, despite soaring rates of community spread. Chicago's teachers union agreed to return to classrooms after winning an agreement on enhanced COVID-19 testing in schools. In climate news, a new study finds ocean temperatures rose to a new record high last year as atmospheric carbon dioxide levels soared to a new high. This comes as Danish researchers reported Greenland's ice sheet lost more mass in 2021 than it gained for the 25th year in a row. Meanwhile, the insurance reinvestment firm Munich Re reports 2021 was the second most costly year on record, with insured losses from natural disasters